Good morning. Seems like half of you are awake. Good morning. You know, I've heard genuine concern from people in the church, oftentimes after they've heard a sermon of mine, concerns that are kind of as follows. Pastor Josh, if you only preach the grace of God, the people will never do anything. Pastor Josh, if you talk about the grace of God in every sermon and you keep talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and then rose again, people might get sick of hearing that same old thing. If you keep talking about the same thing week in and week out, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the grace of God, then people might get bored. They might think, well, is this the same thing every week? And so they say, maybe you should preach about other things, other topics, perhaps. What I say to that when someone comes to me, I'm not saying that that's happened here yet, we'll see. But when people show these kinds of concerns that somehow preaching grace keeps us from doing more for the Lord in our lives, I say to those people, you have a shallow understanding of the grace of our God. Because if you get to know the grace of God deeply in your heart, if you get to know who Jesus Christ is, you see his love for you, what it meant that he gave himself for you, and yes, that he died on the cross for your sins, not only suffering physically, but in a spiritual way, dying the death, experiencing in some way the separation that we were to feel from the Father. But then on the third day, he rose again and he defeated death, and there's victory. When you know grace more deeply, you will live even more vigorously and fervently for the Lord, I promise you. So I'm going to keep on preaching about the grace of God. I'm going to keep on preaching about the gospel because it is what should be the driving force of our lives, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in all the talk that we've had in the book of James, it has been, you need to do this. God wants you to do this. If you're a Christian, God demands of you to live a life that shows the faith that you have or that you proclaim. And we're going to continue to look at that today by taking a good hard look at ourselves. I have a question for you as we talk about having a genuine and active faith. The question is simply this: do you have a genuine faith, a saving faith? Let's look at James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. This is what the Word of God says. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much again that you love us so deeply, that your grace is always sufficient for us. God, you know where every single one of us are in terms of our spiritual walk. Many of us have been Christians, a relationship with you. We've had that for a long time. Some of us here are just beginning our walk with you, and some of us have not yet begun a relationship with you. But no matter what walk of life we are, God, we thank you that you see us and you know that our ultimate need is yourself. that we would receive who you are and know who you are, so that we can have forgiveness and eternal life that can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. God, would you give us hungry hearts? Would you give us well-plowed hearts so that the seeds of your word can go deep and that they would produce fruit, not only as individual believers, but as a church, God, that we would have a genuine faith that people can sense and experience as they come to our church, because you are in our midst. You are within us through the power of your Holy Spirit. So be with me as I preach your word. Help me, Lord, to share what you want to say to our church, to each person here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the book of James, he's been talking a lot about this idea of action. In James 1:22, remember it said, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." It said there is a strong connection that we don't force, but that happens when you have a relationship with God, when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've given over lordship of your life to him. You understand his grace more deeply. When these things happen in your life. Your life has purpose. You aren't living for yourself anymore. You're not just saying, "I believe in God, I believe in Jesus," but you're actually living out, "I believe in Jesus." And so he challenges us again and again, asking, do you have a genuine faith? I hope you're not offended by me asking you that. I hope that you'll take that question and not simply just say, "Of course I have faith. Look, I'm at church. Would I be here?" Now, I don't know who said it, but I remember someone saying, "Just because you stand in a garage does not make you a car." In the same way, just because you're sitting here listening to this message, the Word of God, it doesn't make you a Christian. Just the outward doing of things never secured for anyone salvation. The doing of things on our power, our ability, our merit, never secured salvation for anyone, or forgiveness or victory. That's only what Christ could do on our behalf. Now, there's a very interesting thing. As I read through this particular passage in the book of James, it reminded me of some very, very telling words from Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it said this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now, if you remember, this is Jesus talking, and there's people coming to him and saying, "Lord, Lord, look at all these things I did in your name. Look at all these things that I did." He said, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?" And then Jesus says, "I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you." So there can be a lot of things that we do and say, "Look at all these Christian things I'm doing. I attend a Bible study. I open the door for people. I smile. I'm generally nice and kind-hearted. I withhold my anger. Look at all these great things I'm doing. I come to church every Sunday. I even read the Bible at home. Surely those things make me a Christian." But you see, when Jesus says and responds, "I will declare to them, I never knew you," it's telling, isn't it? That we can do all these good things, these Christian things, quote-unquote Christian things, and they could be completely separate from an actual relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that ought to make us take pause for a moment. Why are you here? Why are you here? Is it your relationship with Jesus Christ that brings you here? Now, I'm not saying you have to be perfect and that everything that you do is like, oh, Jesus, 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 oh, I love him. That'd be awesome if that's possible on this side of eternity. But I know it's hard to get into the car or on the train and make your way down here sometimes. But is it the love of Jesus, your desire to hear the word of God, be in the fellowship of believers that draws you to this place? You see, there has to be relationship. How scary is that? These people were so sure that they would enter the gates of heaven, that they'd be received by Jesus. And he declares to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. It's a sobering thing, isn't it, to think about that. As you're here in this place, we're going to talk about what it means to have a genuine faith. We're going to talk about the marks of a genuine faith. So these are the three things I want to talk about today. First thing is this, that genuine faith is in Christ alone. Genuine faith is in Christ alone. Secondly, genuine faith must produce good works. Genuine faith must produce good works. And lastly, genuine faith is fruitful. Genuine faith is fruitful. So let's go ahead and look at genuine faith is in Christ, that first aspect of genuine faith. It says in verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Now, I've talked about it a little bit already, but what is it that can save? Now, when this question is asked, it says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? So what James is saying here is this person says he has faith, but he's not living anything that resembles faith in Jesus. Does that faith save him? Now, some people take a moment and say, well, isn't it just by grace through faith that you're saved? 100% yes. But what James is saying is there are certain people who have come to this kind of idea and belief that they can just say they have faith and live however they want to apart from God, doing whatever they please, and well, they're saved because they said they believe. Remember back in James chapter 2, verse 1, it is that the faith is in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. That's the faith that saves. It's the one that shows the glory of God with our lives. It's the one that remembers what Christ has done on our behalf. You see, I told you I was going to preach about the gospel again. It's Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Life everlasting. We just sang about it this morning together. You see, a false faith that says simply if I say I believe, it does not save. Because there has to be relationship with Christ. Genuine faith is in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So as you read this verse, make sure that you're not thinking, okay, well, step one is I have faith, and my salvation is complete when I add works to it. Nuh-uh. When you have genuine faith in Christ, and you're moved by his grace, his forgiveness and love, then works comes out of it. But the faith has to begin in the person of Christ first. And so no one can boast. So what can save? Genuine faith in Christ. You need to learn to turn to Jesus. We have to learn to go to him when we find ourselves falling short, when we find ourselves failing. Perhaps even as you listen to this message, you realize, wow, my faith has been in my own works, that as long as I do good things, As long as I do more good than bad, then generally I'm good. I think I'm a little bit closer to getting to heaven. We have to get rid of this kind of thinking that things, salvation is based on our own merit. That we have some kind of stock in whether we go to heaven or not by what we do. It's what Christ has done. It's His glory. So that no one can boast, that all we can say is, I was helpless, I was lost, and Christ, who loves me, who's proactive in His love for me, found me and met me where I was. His grace was sufficient, and it is sufficient for my life. See, faith is not, I believe in God and I try to do good in life. It's the understanding that it is only through Christ and what He has done that He has saved us by His grace through faith. And so that moves us to live. It's the person of Christ, Him alone, that there's genuine faith. I want to give a challenge to our church and just simply again ask, do you have genuine faith? With this in mind, do you have genuine faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says this: examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. We should learn to do that. Reflect, examine. And it says, test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Are you in the habit of checking your heart? Are you in the habit of repenting? Each day, look into your heart. Ask God to reveal the things that are apart from Him, and then to set you on the course that obeys Him, that knows Him, that lives a life of faith that others can also see and attest. It's genuine faith in Christ alone. Check your hearts. Learn to repent each and every day so that we can shine the truth of God and have a genuine faith in Him. Second thing is this: genuine faith produces good works. Genuine faith produces good works. And this is again verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Again, James is not preaching here a faith plus works equals salvation kind of theology. He's saying a genuine faith theology requires that out of that, what God will do in your life, will do in your heart, will produce good works. It means when Jesus says, will you believe? And you say, I will believe. It doesn't mean you just stop and that's all that was required. God wants you to be a part of His purpose, to be a part of His plan. Not simply just so you could be saved and say, well, I have a ticket to heaven. No, He has an actual purpose for each one of us when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. When we experience His love, His grace, and forgiveness, He then says, if you believe, now go and live as I teach you. Go and live as I have lived. He's basically saying, what good is it to call yourself a Christian and even to know the Word of God and say that you have faith, but not actually be living for Jesus Christ? So genuine faith, that's where it begins, but it produces good works. It pushes people to serve. It pushes people to obey even when it's hard. It pushes people to make decisions to glorify God rather than self, to push past even our own strongest of desires and feelings at times so that we can go in a way that we know God will be glorified in our lives. Because again, it's the relationship that we have with Him. Don't just have good works, please. Don't look at your good works and say, see, I have good works, therefore I must have faith. No, you must have faith in Jesus first, and that must be what produces good works. We do good works because we're saved. We don't do good works so that we can be saved. Did you guys catch that? We are not saved by our good works. We do the good works because God has already in his grace saved us and done something that we could not do. So James here, he's challenging us. Are you living for the Lord? Have you actually given him lordship in every part of your life? Are good works being produced in your life, in your character, at work? Are you making actions and doing things with integrity? At work, are you doing things in a way where you're shining the light of God and you're glorifying God in the decisions that you make, the things that you say, how you talk to your coworkers, what you talk to them about, what kind of jokes you're making? Genuine faith produces good works in every aspect of your life, in the way that you treat your family, as a husband, as a wife, as a daughter or a son, as a grandparent. Are you doing good works, choosing to glorify God because of your relationship with Jesus Christ? It's a challenge. But again, we fall on the grace of God. It's not a call to perfection. We're going to miss opportunities to do good works for the Lord. We're going to fall flat on our face sometimes because you know what? The temptation to bring glory to ourselves is still very strong. But God will build us up. Turn to him. As we talked about, it's only in Christ that we can have genuine faith and salvation. You know, I was thinking about it and, you know, obviously sports, especially in our country, is a huge deal. And I remember in St. Louis when I was attending seminary and pastoring there, I'm a Cubs guy because I'm from Chicago. But yes, I must admit I went to a couple Cardinals games. Okay, and I know you guys, if you know, there's a lot of rivalry there. But I remember always, you know, when I'd go to the stadium, there would always be people just kind of standing on the sidewalk. And, you know, as people are trying to make their way to the stadium, you know, they kind of like low-key be like, hey, you need tickets? Hey, you need tickets? Hey, you need tickets, right? So what they're trying to do is it's called scalping tickets, right? They're trying to resell tickets that either they found or bought at a low cost, but they're trying to upsell it so that, you know, they make some money off of it. It's like a side hustle or just a hustle, okay? I started thinking about that because I've heard stories of people saying, oh, yeah, I could use a ticket. Wow, that's super cheap. And so they buy the ticket, and they're so excited. Like, man, look at this deal I got. I'm going to get to go to the game for cheap. And when you get to the door, you know, you do the little scanner thing, boop, and it just stays red. It's supposed to turn green so you can walk through, but it just stays red. You're like, what's going on here? I got a ticket right here. You try it again, boop, boop, it stays red. Sir, sorry, but your ticket's it's not being read. It must not be a real ticket. Well, it looks like a real ticket, otherwise I wouldn't have bought it. I mean, it was a great deal, but I'm pretty sure this is a legitimate ticket. Sir, there's nothing I can do. I started thinking about that. How sad it would be that we have ticket holders here when it comes to salvation. And that so many of us have counterfeit tickets and we're holding on to it as if we have the real thing. And that we're going to go before God in judgment. And we're going to say, I got my ticket right here. And it's going to beep. And you're going to say, but look at all the things I did. I went to church. I did all these good works. Now, missing a game, a Cardinals game, is not a big deal, especially for me. But missing out on eternity with God, knowing his presence, growing in your walk with him for eternity. Can you just imagine that? I want us to have the genuine ticket. And you know how we're going to have that genuine ticket? not because we made enough money to buy it. It's because Christ already paid for it. And all we need to do is go to the one who can give it to us. And you know what? When we have that ticket that's genuine, and we know where we're headed, we know the one who has given it to us, then our lives will reflect that, and I promise you that good works is right behind. That good works will be produced, not because we are trying to earn something or show something or glorify ourselves or take something to our name, but that what has been achieved for us through Christ is so amazing that I just need to tell people about this. I need to live my life so that people will know Christ through me, through the good works in my life. Again, it does not mean perfection, but it means living out of that faith, genuine faith, with good works in every arena of life. And so again, I ask you, is there some area of your life where good works is absent, where obedience is absent? Do you have a secret sin that you've been hiding? God knows. Repent. Repent with genuine faith. Receive his grace and forgiveness, but ask him to empower you to do the good works that he's called you to because you know who he is. Ask him for strength to overcome temptation and sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about favoritism and showing love and patience. Have you been failing to show patience and love toward your neighbors? Have you been failing to show love and patience towards that unlovable person that we've just decided in our minds, that person is not worthy of my love or my good works? I've already decided. And God says, you don't choose who you love. You don't choose when to show good works and do good works. You do them in obedience to God because you know who he is and what he has done for you. Now, God cares about your feelings. Don't get me wrong. But your feelings are not the law. Your feelings are not what controls your every action. They ought not to be. It's the law of God, the royal law that we talked about in a previous passage. To love God first and to love others as yourself. So are you doing good works in your life? Not that you look to those to reflect and say, well, I have a genuine faith because look at all these good works. No, no. Check first. Do you have a genuine faith in Christ? Because if you have genuine faith, it's going to change you from the inside out. Again, you're not going to be perfect. You're still going to fail. You still might falter. But God's grace is real for you. He calls you to purity. He calls you to holiness. He calls you to love in a way that is not natural to us, but he has given us the supernatural presence through the Holy Spirit. So let's do good works in our lives. Let's do good works as a church so that people will be touched and moved and that God will be glorified. Last thing is this, genuine faith is fruitful. Genuine faith is fruitful. Verse 15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Remember, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Can we say that together? Say, we love because he first loved us. Loving and caring words and no actual action of love, is that really the love of God? Imagine if it said, for God so loved the world And that was it. He just left us here. Isn't that what we do sometimes? We say, God loves you. Go, be filled, have peace. That's the full extent of what we do. But if we love because he first loved us, then that means our love is going to look like the love of God. It's going to be costly. It's going to be uncomfortable at times. But when genuine faith is fruitful, what I mean by that is when someone has a real walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, you produce fruit. And guess what fruit is good for? Unless you're on a low-carb diet. Fruit is good for others to take and pick and to eat of it, to be refreshed. Is that what your life looks like? That the people around you are experiencing the fruit of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Genuine faith is fruitful. When you actually know the Lord, there are things that happen in your life, changes that occur that you could not will to happen on your own strength. Genuine faith is not just intellectual knowledge about Jesus. It's not knowing a lot about him. It is actually knowing him. And he begins to change you. And the fruit is not because you're starting to do so well in life, but because it becomes more and more apparent that he is alive in you. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so if that's becoming more and more the reality of your choosing, your choices that you make, the words that you say, the things that you do, the good works out of that genuine faith, then you will produce fruit. Now, this happened a couple Wednesdays ago, and happened a little bit before our young professional fellowship. And I wanted to share it, and I kind of was a little bit hesitant to share it because it might be miscommunicated as I'm kind of glorifying myself. But I promise you, this is all glory to God, okay? Because this was outside or beyond me. Now, it wasn't a huge deal, but before our young professional group started on this Wednesday night, there was a doorbell ring, right? Someone was ringing at the door, at the front entrance. And so I went to the entrance, and I thought maybe it was one of our fellowship members. But I saw a lady, and she looked very distraught, and she was kind of holding up her pants. And, you know, she knocked on the door when she saw me come and said, "Oh, hi, can I help you?" And she says to me, "Sir, I have an emergency." This is a church, right? "I have an emergency." And so I'm thinking, oh man, what's happened? Like, is there something that I'm going to have to take care of? Any prayer requests that I'm going to have to, I'll pray for her, do whatever I can. So I ask her, "Yeah, sure, what do you need?" And she says, "It's an emergency. My pants keep falling down, and I need a belt." Now, obviously, that wasn't the kind of emergency I was thinking of, but she just said, "Sir, do you have a belt in the church that I can have?" Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, is there a belt somewhere in our church? And I said, "Well, I have my belt, but it's quite large comparatively to you." But she held out her hand. And so I took my belt off. And I gave it to her. And I said, "God bless you." And she went on her way. Now, I share this because this is truly a glory to God. You know why? Because, you know, one of our members can attest to it. One of the first things I said after I came back in was like, "That was my favorite belt." You see, I had done all these things. This person was in need, and I gave them what they needed. I actually provided for a need, and I said, "God bless you." But then I started really thinking about it. I'm like, man, I've had that belt for a long time. I really grew very fond of that American Eagle leather belt, right? Not dropping any hints, size 38, maybe, right? But I thought about that, you know, and I was like, that was not me. Because if it was just me, I'd be like, ma'am, that is not an emergency. Or you can probably find a boat somewhere else. You know, I think there's some shelters nearby. Maybe they have belts that you can use. But you see, I really believe that it was the Holy Spirit in me. That it wasn't because I'm so great or I'm so loving or I'm so sacrificial. But there was just something in me. The Holy Spirit, God, wanted to work through me to provide a need. I didn't even think twice. I just, well, here's my belt. And I wonder if God was challenging me to say, if I ask you to do this on a bigger scale, if I ask you to do something for someone else in a costly way, but because of the fruit that's in you through the work I have done in your heart, as you grow deeper in your understanding of my grace for you, I am challenging you that if something greater were to come along with an emergency that was costly for you to give of the fruit that God has placed in your life, would you do it? I think we got to start with small things. It doesn't happen overnight that all of a sudden we believe and we're just, there's fruit everywhere. It takes time to cultivate fruit. It takes time for it to grow on the tree. It takes time for you to mature in your faith. And so what I'm not asking of you is to be a perfect Christian today or tomorrow. What I'm saying is just grow in your genuine faith in Christ. Reflect on your heart and do good works out of that genuine faith in Christ. And as you do that, you will be fruitful. And the fruit, I'm not talking about worldly fruit. I'm not saying you're going to move on to bigger and better things and that's the fruit that God's going to give. No, God's going to produce fruit in your heart. Love, peace, patience, kindness, all these things, self-control through the power of the Holy Spirit. And people around you will benefit. If you're a father, a mother, I ask of you, have your children been experiencing the joy of the fruit of God's hand in your life? Or have they been just receiving what you have to give? Have they received anger and frustration from you? Or have they received the type of patience that God shows to us, the grace that says, you messed up, but I love you. And I'm going to show you that. That's the fruit that's delicious. That's the fruit that we want to show. And I believe our church, there's so many of us here that really do produce that kind of fruit. Many of you whom I've been so blessed by myself because you're growing in your walk with the Lord and you want others to taste the joy of knowing the Lord. And it's just produced supernaturally through the power of God. And I hope that our whole church will be like that. I hope and pray that every single one of us will actually know the Lord. So check your hearts. Don't show up at the door with counterfeit tickets. Only through Christ. And when you have Christ, it's going to produce good works. And there's going to be fruit that will be a blessing unto those around us. That all by the grace of God. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to pray and respond. Now, this is a crucial part of the worship service, I believe, is that you've now heard the word of God, not just Pastor Josh preaching, but the word of God being spoken to you. You can take it, or really, you could leave it. That's always the options when you hear the word of God being preached. We know that when Jesus fed the 5,000 or more with women and children, the 10,000 plus, many left, it says, with full bellies. But so many left, and that's all they had, a full belly. They didn't leave with their hearts filled with the knowing of Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now the bread and fish has been provided, not by me, but by God through his word. What will you do with it? Will you truly receive it? And then recognize the one who's giving it. God loves each one of us so much, and he wants us to have a genuine faith in him. Remember, it's only in Christ. So if you say, well, I believe in God and I live a good life and that's enough for me, then I challenge you right now, by what the word of God just being preached, do you have a genuine faith? Because everyone can say, I believe in God, and then try to live a moral life, but that is not what secures our salvation. It's, do you know Jesus? Can he say to you, I know you? Because you come to me in prayer. I know you because you get into my word. I know you because there is good works and fruit being produced out of the love that I know you have received from me. God, I pray that our church, every one of us, will be able to experience that. The real knowing of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Just pray right now, Lord, I want to know you. I want to have a genuine faith in you. And if you have a genuine faith, say, Lord, remind me. May it never get old, the gospel of grace. So that I can live in a way that produces good works and produces fruit, that my family would know, that my children would know, that my coworkers would know, that I'm not living for myself, but I'm living for the glory of God. That's what genuine faith produces. Just take one more moment to pray, and then I'll close us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and it's a very challenging word. Only you know our hearts. I pray for every person in this room that they would have genuine faith in Jesus Christ and that they would know you as their Lord and Savior. Because God, there is nothing greater than knowing you. There is nothing greater than serving you, than loving you, than being loved by you and known by you, God. So may we experience that on an individual level, but also as a church, so that people will be able to taste of the goodness of the fruit that is produced by genuine faith. We thank you so much. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.